Praise the Lord. Amen. They sound so beautiful. You're doing everything that my wife taught you how to do. Open your mouths and sing. Praise the Lord for that. Time for our education offering. But before then, let me just do one commercial here. You know, next year is a big year for Southside. And do you know why? 2016. What's going on in 2016? Homecoming. Amen. We want to invite all the churches in the area to our homecoming next year in October 2016. Come on up for the commercial, Brother Douglas. We're having fundraisers. We're raising money now. People are donating money now for this big day next year. We're having one of our former pastor's sons speaking on that Sabbath. Melvin Warfield is speaking. And we're kind of building up to this one great day there in October. Take us away, Douglas.
Can I get two volunteers? Can I get two volunteers? Come on up. Yeah, come on. Young, old, tonight is participation. Young at heart. Can I have you sit right here? Okay, I got another chair coming. Derek, can you drop it?
This has been a full day for me. We have had baby dedication, principal's encouraging remarks, and the choir, and the special music, and Doug's commercial, and I mean, I'm in the midst of funeral plans, and then providing food for that, and so forth, and I mean, I feel a little bit overwhelmed before I start, but it will be short. I can promise you that. What happened to the disciples? Peter's boastful claims were turned into submissive and powerful proclamations. Thomas' doubts were turned into rock-solid faith. James and John, the sons of thunder, were totally changed. They became humble and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, the cunning, very cunning tax collector, became a faithful writer of the gospel. And Mary, well, I'm glad that one woman is in here, because in those days, women weren't thought of very much. And not only was she a woman, but she was a woman of ill repute. She became a loving champion of the cross. Within them dwells a fire that is not found on earth. Christ had taught them. The Father had forgiven them, and the Spirit indwelled them. What God did for them, He longs to do for us. So let us pray. Our Lord and our God, thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. May your name be glorified as we are transformed into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I will do one scripture. If you'll turn in your Bible to Luke 11:13. And this is the New King James Version. And let's read it together. It is the psychiatrists tell us that if we read out loud, we can remember things better. So we read these texts and look at it too, so you're halfway there. So let us read it together. Luke 11:32. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, I really changed the whole sermon because I was going to talk about the gift. But then the date got changed, and then it got changed again and again. And so now I'm without a title, but you'll forgive me. At Pentecost, the time was right. The disciples were ready. Jesus had ascended to his Father. His sacrifice was accepted at God's throne. Then he received the promised Holy Spirit from his Father for his disciples to accomplish the God-given mission. We have a mission to accomplish as well. And we are going to need the power and the comfort and the encouragement that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we think sometimes don't realize how much we need it. So in order to receive the Holy Spirit, it says there are certain preparations need to be made. We'll see what the disciples did, and if we want to be changed like them, then maybe we need to follow their pattern as to what they did. They spent time examining their heart. They wanted to be sure their motives was pure. Now, searching your heart is not a bad idea. Throughout the Bible, God admonishes us to spend time examining our heart. In Hebrews 12:15, the Apostle Paul urges us to look diligently lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. No, roots produce shoots, and shoots produce fruits. If there is a root of bitterness in your heart, it will produce the shoots. It will produce the shoots of anger, criticism, or gossip, and will result in the tragic fruit of a broken relationship. All sinful roots will eventually produce their ugly fruits. So King David prayed, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." When we see God's loving kindness and observe the righteousness of his character, we recognize our weakness, shortcomings, and sin. In the blazing light of his unconditional love and perfection, our hearts are humbled. We are led to deep confession and repentance. We cry out to him for the salvation and righteousness that only he can provide. When we are overwhelmed with his holiness, with the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6:5, we cry out, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Self-examinations may not always be the most pleasant experience, but it is absolutely necessary. In self-examination, we ask God, "Is there anything in my life that is not in harmony with your will?" We pray, "Lord, reveal those attitudes deep within my soul that are not like Jesus." The purpose of self-examination is to discover those areas of our lives that have been hidden for many years. You know, God does not show all of us through the Holy Spirit all of our faults at the same time. I think if he did, we would be overwhelmed. But a lot of times we have blind spots. So just a little shown at a time, like when you look in the mirror. You know, you get to see a reflection of what you really look like, and you can make changes. And I think it was Dr. Field that said, "You don't change what you don't acknowledge." You know, if you don't know you have it, why would you try to get rid of it if you don't know it's there? So he does want us to wallow in guilt. He does not want us to wallow in guilt and be filled with remorse over past lives. His goal is to lead us in the way everlasting. Although it is healthy to take a candid look at our spiritual lives, it is unhealthy to dwell on the faults of our past lives. Dwelling on our faults and focusing too long on our mistakes just only discourage us. Because our Lord is bigger than our mistakes, and he's greater than our failures. We certainly need to honestly know our condition, but it is more important to know his grace. Understanding our weakness prepares us to receive his strength. Understanding our sinfulness prepares us to receive his righteousness. Understanding our ignorance prepares us to receive his wisdom. In all thy getting, get an understanding first. The Holy Spirit may lead us to lament over our fallen natures, but he does not leave us there. One of the job descriptions and purposes of the Holy Spirit is to lead us closer to Jesus. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is preparing us to receive the fullness of the Spirit in the latter rain power. Before God makes us, he must break us. Before he fills us, he has to empty us of ourselves. Before he is enthroned in our heart, self must be dethroned. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. His supreme desire is that we reflect his loving character before a waiting world and the watching universe. He wants to prepare us for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to be aware of the preparations that we must make. It's when he was with his disciples, he said to them, they were all together on one accord. This was as Jesus had told them. He asked them to pray and to tarry until he came. And if we are willing, we will be filled with his Spirit. It says if we are willing, all would be filled with his Spirit. Whenever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter of a little thought of, there are seen spiritual drought. We know what a water drought is. A spiritual drought is even worse. Spiritual darkness, spirit declension, and death. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power which is necessary for growth and prosperity of the church and which would bring all other blessings in its train is lacking, though offered in great abundance. Since this is the means by which we are to receive the power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk about it, or pray about it, and preach concerning it? Everybody knows what we like because we're always talking about it. I like this car, that furniture, or this food, or that food, or this restaurant. We talk about it all the time, but how often do we talk about the Holy Spirit, how much we want it or need it in our lives? The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. Companies of Christian workers should gather for special help, for heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. Especially should they pray that God will baptize his chosen missionary ambassadors in mission fields. And where are the mission fields? And wherever you are, where you live, you don't have to go across the ocean. ambassadors and mission fields with a rich measure of his Spirit. The presence of the Spirit with God's workers will give the proclamation of truth a power that has not all the honor or glory of the world could give. The Holy Spirit as a comfort. Now that is the part that is so helpful to me. Pastor had mentioned the losses in our family of recent, and it is hard to deal with. And when you come across in sorrow and affliction, when the outlook seems dark and the future perplexing, and we feel helpless and alone, these are the times when, in answer to the prayer of faith, the Holy Spirit being comfort to the heart. But if you haven't had any disasters and mind-boggling, awful things that have happened to you, you may not understand the need for the comforter. This is a ministry of the Spirit that only a few knows. And when you look at the word like alone, a lonely, loneliness, oh, these things have a whole, they take on a whole new meaning. And if you take off the, when you see the word like alone, and you take away the A and the L, what's left? One. When you take away the L and the two L's and the Y from lonely, what do you have? One. Loneliness, the same thing. Those are hidden agendas. Those are hidden agendas in this word, and it's like it's a direct opposition of what the Bible teaches, because the divine counsel tells us that we are never alone. Amen. So when you get to that point where you think you are all alone in the world, you know that it's not from God, because he says we are never alone. Psalms 23, verse 4, and I probably have skipped some, but the clear word is what I like. It says, even when I walk through the valley of frightful shadows facing death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And then the New King's Version is, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for because thou art with me. And then Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So that's where I take my greatest comfort in the words of the Lord, when he says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. To the repentant sinner, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the Holy Spirit reveals the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So, and then I like this other text that says, John 14:26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have told you. Isn't that wonderful? That seems to me like good medication for Alzheimer's. He says, I will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have told you. You know, as you get older, there's a tendency to be forgetful and other things. But this says that I'll bring all things into your remembrance. And that's encouraging to me. So, and then haven't you ever wondered why in the New Testament there seemed to be so, especially in Acts, there's so much power and there's so much fire. And every time they meet, and then nowadays, not so much. You know, why was the Holy Spirit poured out so abundantly then, and why are we so devoid of his presence now? Why? The difference, possibly, because it is time for us to do some serious reflection. Maybe the Holy Spirit is leading us to look within our own hearts in self-examination. Do I personally fully appreciate the good gift of the Holy Spirit that Christ has ordered? Is receiving the good gift of the Holy Spirit a priority in my life? Do minor matters crowd out time for placing priorities on praising priority on the things of eternity? With the concentrated worker for God, in whatever place he may be, the Holy Spirit abides. So we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. The Lord is more willing to give his Holy Spirit to those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. So we're living in a special time in history. All heaven invites us to grasp the promises of the Almighty. God longs to do something very special for his church now. He invites us to seek him with all our hearts, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain for the finishing of his work on earth. Will you prayerfully claim his promise? Will you encourage others to join you in praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Will you now reorder your priorities to spend more time with Jesus in prayer? Open your gift and enjoy the good gift.
Amen. I was blessed today, weren't you? Amen. Holy Spirit, what would we do without the gift of the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Jesus, for leaving him here. Thank you so much for that. Before we end, we're going to hear one more time from our choir. Amen. I want to say thank you to those who have come today to visit with us. I notice the Dufels are here. Is Melanie? I know Melanie.